Take your Bibles, and we're going to look at several scriptures tonight, but I want to start off in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, and I want to preach tonight as I continue on the Holy Spirit. And again, many of us are I wouldn't say completely unaware, but I wouldn't say it would be wrong to say that we're all not fully aware of all the instrumentalities of the Spirit of God. We have seen that the Spirit of God has come to again convict the world of righteousness and judgment. We've seen the baptism of the Holy Spirit and as well imparting gifts. The Holy Spirit of God is what gives us gifts, leads us and directs us to churches, organizes the church. It's the Holy Spirit of God that organizes the church. This is all the Spirit's doing, amen? At least it should be. The Spirit guides and directs us. And tonight, I want to look at, again, the fruits of the Spirit, but also I want to talk about the filling of the Spirit. And again, I think the filling of the Spirit is another of the ministries of the Spirit of God that people have a little bit of misunderstanding. A lot of people out there have a bit of a misunderstanding about it, what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God, and what exactly it is. And I want to say this before I get into the message, that when we look at fruit, when we look at the fruit of the fruit of the Spirit is the result of being filled with the Spirit. If we are filled with the Spirit, then the result of that will be the fruits. Or fruit, the Bible uses the singular in Galatians there. The fruit of the Spirit, and if we want to produce fruit, if we want to be fruitful Christians, if we want to be fruit-bearing Christians, then we've got to understand properly how to be filled with the Spirit of God and what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. Before we get into the message, let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be here again tonight. And again, as we look into the ministry of the Spirit of God, the work that He does not only in the world, but in the church and in the hearts and lives of believers. We are born again of the Spirit. Every saved person is born again of the Spirit of God. Regenerated, as we've seen. Regened. Reprogrammed. And Lord, I pray tonight as we look into the filling of the Spirit that You would give us the power and the ability to carry out what we hear tonight. And my prayer is, Lord, that each one of us will leave here tonight with a desire each and every day to be filled with the Spirit. And that fruit would be the result. So for your glory and for your honor, I pray that you would bless tonight. We'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. Charles Finney wrote how God gave him mighty infillings of the Holy Spirit. He said this, that went through me as it seemed, body and soul. I immediately found myself endued with such power from on high that a few words dropped here and there to individuals were the means of their immediate conversion. My words seemed to fasten like barbed arrows in the souls of men. They cut like arrows. They broke the hearts like a hammer. Multitudes can attest to this. Sometimes I would find myself in a great measure empty of this power. I would go and visit and find that I made no saving impression. I would exhort and pray with the same results. I would then set apart a day for private fasting and prayer. After humbling myself and crying out for help, the power would return upon me with all of its freshness. This has been the experience of my life. End of quote. And so Charles Finney there basically relating to the idea of sometimes as a Christian, we just don't have the filling of the Spirit. We don't have the power of God in our lives, and we should know and we should understand and be able to recognize when we are filled with the Spirit and when we are not filled with the Spirit, when the power of God leaves us. And I think every one of us here tonight, I talked this morning a little bit about discouragement. And all of us probably have been in times of discouragement. And you know, I would probably say this, if you've been saved for any period of time, I could say safely that there's been times in your life where you haven't felt the power of God in your life. Where it just seems like God is absent. And you know, it doesn't have to be like that. The power of God or the filling of the Spirit can be with us each and every day. We've got to determine to be filled with the Spirit every day. And I want to look at, first of all, definition, if you will. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 in a minute. But I want us to look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. And we're going to look at a couple of verses here. What is the definition of being filled with the Spirit? You know, we are very aware of Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost when they were baptized with the Spirit. But in verse 4 there of chapter 2, the Bible says, And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Again, last week we looked at the baptism of the Spirit. The first point I want to make is that being filled with the Spirit is not the same as being baptized with the Spirit. These are two different things. There are a couple of instances in the Bible where people are baptized with the Spirit and subsequently filled or filled shortly thereafter, but the two being, again, baptized by the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit are mutually exclusive. We know that the apostles were already baptized by the Spirit, and now we find in verse 4, the apostles, including Peter, were filled with the Spirit of God. The People's New Testament says this as far as definition goes. To be filled implies that the human spirit within was overwhelmed by or immersed in the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit was not a sprinkling, but an outpouring or overwhelming of the human spirit. And Albert Barnes says this, where they were entirely under the sacred influence and power. To be filled with anything is a phrase denoting that all the faculties are pervaded by it, engaged in it, or under its influence. So to be filled with the Spirit simply means that we are completely and absolutely and utterly under the influence of the Spirit of God. That means that you don't have any influence. That means the world doesn't have any influence. That means your wife doesn't have any influence, or your husband, or your kids. It's talking about complete control. The idea of being filled with the Spirit is the idea of being controlled, under the influence. We find Peter shortly after being filled again with the Holy Spirit. Look in chapter 4 and verse 8 in Acts. Chapter 4 and verse 8. The Bible says there, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. So again, Peter there being filled with the Spirit of God once again. And I want you to turn in your Bibles now to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And I want us to understand, as we look at this verse, the idea again of influence. There's a lot of things in life that can influence us. What are some things in life that can influence us? Media, absolutely. I don't know how much it is today. Maybe some. I remember a few years ago, many years ago, it was like $200 million for a 30-second commercial in the Super Bowl. Does anybody know how much it is now? Too much. They pay extremely high amounts of money to get 30 seconds of your time. And the reason is because that media, that influence can be on your heart and on your mind. So yeah, the media, probably one of the biggest influences out there, the media can wield great influence. What else can influence us? Friends. That's why we find in the Bible so often that we've got to be careful about who our friends are. And you know, sometimes we don't think that our friends will influence us. But I like what Amos said, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? Listen, if you're diametrically opposed in philosophy and direction, and you're not going to be able to just naturally be somebody's friend. It's not just going to happen. So friends are very influential. What else? What else can influence us in life? Money. That's a big one. Oh, for the love of money, right? People are willing to sell themselves, their lives, sell their testimonies for money. People are willing to lie, cheat, and steal in order to get rich. And I could be up here for a long time telling you the stories that I know personally of people in the media and otherwise who have done absolutely incredible things, unbelievable things, for a few bucks. The lying, cheating, stealing, the influence of money. There's another one here that is an influence, but it's not the pressure of society or friends or media. And that influence here, according to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, is the influence of alcohol. And he uses alcohol, I believe, because alcohol is one of the most influential substances in the world. In fact, most encyclopedias you read, call it the world's number one recreational drug. People in the world know that alcohol, it's a drug. It is a toxin. It's poisonous. It's a depressant. People drink it I drink it to be happy. You know, actually, alcohol makes you depressed. But one thing, though, I don't want to preach on alcohol tonight. But in Ephesians 5 and 18, he says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." And I whenever I talk about this verse, I've got to say this. People will say to you, "Well, see, the Bible only says you're not supposed to be drunk with wine. So it's okay to drink a little bit." That's not what that verse is saying. Wherein is excess? That word excess is talking about influence. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is influence, or that ability to make you do what you would normally not do, influence you. We were out many, many years ago. We had a family that the wife didn't really want anything to do with Christianity, and she was influencing her husband to get out of church. And we went over there to see them. We decided to visit. I went with my pastor, and we went into the apartment building, and we went down the hallway. And as we were walking down the hallway, we realized that there was some noise coming from one of the apartments up ahead. And as we got closer, we realized it was the place we were going to. So I looked at my pastor, and I said, "Are we going in there?" He said, "Yep, it sounded like a party." So, hey, I guess we're going to a party tonight, amen? So we knocked on the door, and they let us in, and we just went in there basically to tell them we loved them and, you know, try to talk to them, have prayer with them, whatever. And this lady, woman, came up, got this far away from my pastor, and started just unleashing vile words, spewing hatred. And I was absolutely shocked. She was obviously inebriated, but she was not holding back. And I remember her husband getting in between and saying to us, "I'm sorry, it's the alcohol that's speaking." And I remember thinking in my mind, I'm not sure about that. I'm thinking that the alcohol is just giving her the courage to be able to speak what's in her heart. But nobody in this world denies the fact that alcohol influences you. It makes you do and say things that you otherwise would not say. It makes you act in ways, you know, that you wouldn't normally act like. And, you know, there's been a lot of people out there that have got themselves into a lot of trouble driving and otherwise because they are under the influence of alcohol. And, again, I don't mean to preach on alcohol tonight, but, you know, I know I've mentioned this before, but one drink and you are under the influence. It's influencing you. Maybe not to the same extent when you've had three or four or five, but you've definitely put yourself under the influence. The process of it is started. And so, I believe that the reason, you know, of course we know back in Bible times there wasn't media other than the crier, the town crier going downtown and shouting out the news. There was no television and there was no commercials and ads and all of those things. There were certainly friends and there was certainly money and there were certainly other influences. But here, I believe Paul uses one of the most influential things in our society, and that is alcohol. And he said, listen, do not be influenced by anything else in this world. And I want you to realize that our responsibility is to be influenced by the Spirit of God. And that's a command. Don't be influenced by the media. Don't be influenced by friends or family. Family can influence. Anybody, anything can influence you. You see, being filled with the Spirit is simply allowing the Spirit of God to be what controls us. There's all kinds of crazy things in this world that vie for our attention. So being filled is very different than being baptized by the Spirit. You know, you can go out and buy a new car. You're only going to purchase that car once. You know, we're only ever born of the Spirit once. That never happens again. You're never baptized over and over with the Spirit of God. But the filling of the Spirit can happen repeatedly, even in one day. You can be filled many times in one day. Or you can just be filled all day. And that's what God wants. The question is, even though we've purchased a car, and that's the one-time thing, we still have the obligation to maintain it. So my question is, I've got a couple questions here, but the first question is, what are we doing to maintain the Spirit? Are we constantly maintaining the Spirit to make sure that the Spirit is having His proper place in our lives, that we are filled and we're living a Spirit-filled life? The Bible says that we are to walk in the Spirit. And again, allowing Him to have control in our lives. You know, we have two natures in each and every one of us every single day. We have got to decide, we have got to determine, we have got to ask ourselves which one of those two natures we're going to allow to control us. You know, as sometimes logical people, we want to, you know, kind of influence the Spirit rather than the Spirit and the flesh having the influence over us. So we want to just control. You know, there are some situations in life where we would rather have the flesh take over. I know what the Spirit's going to have me do in this particular situation. I'm just going to let flesh take over. And so we start manipulating. You know, I think the flesh will be good here. And I, but no, the spirit's going to be fine over here. This is what I'm going to church. I got to make sure I'm in the spirit, you know, and not in the flesh. And we consciously, I'm saying this to say this, we consciously allow, willingly allow the flesh to take over when we want to, but we don't have to. We don't have to. You know, oh, Pastor, I had no choice. The old flesh just got the best of me. You know, I just let the flesh take over. Yes, you did. You let the flesh take over because you wanted the flesh to take over. And we have these two natures both vying for control. And that daily battle takes place. So my second question is, are you aware of that battle? And are you aware in your own hearts and in your own lives when the flesh wants to take over? And are we aware when the spirit wants to take over? And the last question I want to ask you is an interesting question. Are you fully aware of when you are filled with the Spirit? Can you say, Pastor, you know what? I know I am aware of when I am filled with the Spirit. Pastor, I know because every time I am, I speak in tongues. No, wrong answer. How many of us as Christians honestly know when we're filled with the Spirit of God? The results of being filled with the Spirit, these may help us to understand what it means to be filled with the Spirit. The results, first of all, there's boldness. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Amen? No fear. Not worrying about what man's going to say. The Bible says they had boldness. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 13, they are said there to have joy and peace and hope. Do we have joy and peace and hope? In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, the Bible says there that one of the fruits of the Spirit or being filled with the Spirit is spiritual wisdom. Do you have spiritual wisdom? And then in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says that when they were filled with the Spirit of God, they had spiritual strength. They had spiritual strength. You know, the Word of God and the Spirit of God, I think, are tantamount. I want to mention as well, people will come to you and say that, you know, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not filled with the Spirit. Has anybody ever had anybody tell you that? We had years ago somebody, not in this church, we had somebody come into church, and this lady marched on down the aisle and asked the pastor, do you speak in tongues in this church? And he says, yeah, we speak in German and we speak in English. And she said, well, do you speak in tongues, biblical tongues? And he said, no, we don't. He says, oh, I don't want to be part of this church. It's only half filled with the Spirit. And she marched out. And I've had people tell me, well, if you're not speaking in tongues and you're not filled with the Spirit, you know, there's only one time in the Bible, and we read it in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, where people that were filled with the Spirit spoke in tongues. The rest of the time is boldness. Most of the time is being a bold witness for Christ. But as I mentioned, being filled with the Spirit is going to be seen by the fruits. Someone who's bearing bad fruits cannot say that I am filled with the Spirit. And that is exactly what God wants us to do, is to bear fruit, to bear good fruit, to bear fruit that will last. I like what D.L. Moody says. He says, I believe firmly that the moment our hearts are emptied of pride and selfishness and ambition and everything that is contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will fill every corner of our hearts. But if we are full of pride and conceit and ambition and the world, there's no room for the Spirit of God. We must be emptied before we can be filled. Amen. We can't have a little bit of the world and all of the Spirit. We can't have a little bit of ourself and pride and our own ambitions and all these other things and allow the Spirit to totally control us. We can't have it. God says that before we can be filled with the Spirit, we've got to be emptied of ourselves. And we've got to allow the Spirit to fully control ourselves. And then we will bear fruit. Then we will bring forth the fruit. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 9, the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Galatians 5 and verse 22, the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit of God. And you know, there are certain things that are going to be characteristic of any Christian that lives in the Spirit and allows the Spirit of God to fill us and control us, put a filter on our mouth. You know, we, independent Baptists and Bible-believing Christians down through the years, you know, we, I believe in separation, amen. I believe in not only personal separation, I believe in ecclesiastical separation. I believe that Christians should be different from the world. I believe that we should look different. We should talk different. We should act different. We should have different goals. We should have different motives and different desires than the world should have. But ultimately, you know, I think there's a lot of people that are walking around with big Bibles and I'm all holy and I'm all this and I'm all that, yet we don't find any of the fruits of the Spirit in their life. They're void of goodness and gentleness and long-suffering and patience and righteousness, the Bible says, and holiness, and all of goodness. All of these things are the fruit of the Spirit. And praise God for everybody that's been saved and everyone that's been born again. And God has turned them into new people. Amen. God has turned them into benevolent, kind people. You know, there's some people that I know that, you know, before they were saved, it was like I mentioned this morning, getting locked in a lion's cage. You know, you just didn't want to be around them. They were the Apostle Pauls of the 21st century, you know, persecuting Christians and doing hateful and despising things. And suddenly they get saved and then they get into church and all of a sudden they're growing and you start seeing some of the fruits of the Spirit. And before, you know, they would only do things for themselves and now they're helping out and they're lending a hand and they're giving and they're being benevolent and they're loving and they're sharing the gospel and they're being bold witnesses and they're going door knocking and they're doing all the things, that the Bible talks about Christians doing. And you're saying, how was it possible? What happens? Because they've got a new master. That's what happens. They get the regeneration of the Spirit of God that reprograms them. And then they're walking in the Spirit as new Christians. And they're allowing the Spirit to control and influence their lives. And listen, folks, I will be the first ones to admit that I am not the same as I was the first 2 years that I got saved. Those first 2 years, when everything was fresh and new and learning and growing and the excitement, man, I lived and breathed the Bible. I would be up till 3 o'clock in the morning to study. I still do that, by the way. I'm up sometimes a crazy hour studying and preparing. But there was a freshness and a newness. And I can say, you know, probably for the first 2 years of my Christian life, for that whole 2 years, I was filled with the Spirit. And I wouldn't have understood what it meant, what Charles Finney was talking about and what others talk about losing the power of God and realizing that suddenly I'm allowing my flesh to take over. I'm allowing money to take over, or I'm allowing the influences of the world to take over. And then we've got to take an account and say, Lord, I want to get back. I want to get back to where I was. I want to start bringing forth that fruit again. That fruit of a spirit-filled life. And you know, it all comes down to one word. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. We're going to look at two verses here. One word. And there are two meanings to this word. And there are two meanings in the Bible to this word. And we're going to look at both of them. Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. You know, I'm going to give a little clue as to which word we're going to be pointing out. But I think if more of us understood this word and obeyed this word, and we'd have a lot less problems in marriage, we'd have a lot less problems in churches, we'd have a lot less problems in the workplace. I think we'd just have a lot less problems. But so few of us very few of us are willing to do this, at least consistently. The Bible says in Romans 6 and verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. And of course, what word are we looking at? Yield. So yield has two meanings. And the first meaning in this particular scripture is the meaning that we in our culture today have the most understanding about. It's simply giving right away. It means giving the right away. You know, was it Laurel and Hardy that would always go through the door and they would sit there and argue for 5 minutes about who would go first? Oh, no, after you. Was that Laurel and Hardy? I've never watched really much Laurel and Hardy, but I think it was them. If not, you can theologically correct me later. Okay? But, you know, that's the idea. You know, after you. You know, yielding, allowing them to go first. Coming up to a stop sign or a yield sign, it means they get to go first. Allowing them, yielding the right of way. And, you know, that is basically giving up your right. It's giving up your right to go and giving it to someone else. You're yielding your right. And so here, he says that we are not to yield or to give over our rights to sin and unrighteousness, but we are to yield to God. So when it comes to being filled with the Spirit, that's the simple idea, is we don't yield to the media. We don't yield to the ungodly friends who would rather see us out of church. We don't yield to the temptation to make money. We don't yield to the influences of friends or ungodly family. We don't yield. We don't give up our right. We don't say, okay, you know, you first. The Bible says, rather, we are to yield ourselves unto God, allow the Holy Spirit to fill us. And if we learn to yield to the Holy Spirit, we will be filled with that Spirit. Now, there's another definition of that word yield, and I want you to turn to the book of James. Turn in your Bibles to the book of James in chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says there, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain, look at this, both yield salt water and fresh. If there's farmers here, I'm sure you are familiar with this definition, this idea of yield. Yielding here is simply what we get out of something. It's what we are giving out. And I will say this, the yield of the Spirit of God, what the Spirit of God gets out of us is the fruits of the Spirit. That is what we yield to God. And if you will, we surrender it to God. We give it over to God. What is God getting out of you? That's the idea here. And you know, we can't, according to this verse, we can't, or at least we shouldn't, as God's people, be bringing forth any other kind of fruit. You see, if we are filled with the Spirit of God, then the only kind of fruit that will be produced are the fruits of righteousness. And so, my question in closing this evening is this. First of all, are you yielding? Are you yielding to the Spirit? You know, we resist the Spirit. We say, hey, listen, no, just stay back, hang on, I'm coming through. And we don't yield. We just don't yield. We just don't want to do what the Spirit wants us to do. And are you yielding to Him? And then the second question is, what is He yielding from you? What is God getting out of your life? What is the fruit that you're producing? And I trust that in considering that, we'll have a better understanding of whether we're filled with the Spirit. Because when we are filled with the Spirit, the fruits will come. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity You've given us to be here tonight. And God, there are influences in this world. There are many, many, many influences. It's a constant battle influencing us to buy this product or buy that product. Influencing us to vote this way or to vote that way. Lord, everyone is vying for our attention. Everyone is desiring for our wills to be bent towards them. But God, You've given us the Spirit of God, and we simply need to resist those temptations and yield ourselves onto the Spirit of God, allowing Him through our emptying of ourselves to fill us or control us or to have complete influence in our lives. And again, as we consider this, I believe all of us must be honest as we take a recollection of our lives and if and or when we've been filled with the Spirit of God. Many of us are content being half filled. Many of us are content with just pushing Him away into the corner somewhere, where He's there when we need Him, but we simply just do not want Him controlling our lives. God, help us tonight to be Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, and empowered by the Spirit of God to be bold witnesses for You. So as we sing and as we have this altar call, may the Holy Spirit of God work in each heart. And may our desire, as we leave here tonight, may our desire be to be filled each and every day by the wonderful, glorious Spirit of God. We'll thank You and we'll praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing.